coming at you from Scratcher Wolf Studio. It's that time again to rage across the internet. It's your very favorite Werewolf the Apocalypse podcast. As always, I'm your host, Porter. Sitting to my left, the king of the refried bean, Mr. Daniel Tyson.
Hey, everybody.
Straight across from me, they call him Limp Celery. It's Mr. Tommy Dixon.
How's it going?
And
wow.
All right. And coming in from deep in the heart of Texas, it's CJ.
Howdy, everybody.
I didn't
fucking know. Great intro there.
Thank you. I didn't know he was going to do that, but we're just going to roll with it.
You're welcome.
That's us, and welcome to Rage Across the Internet. It's your very first show. We're glad to have you. This is the show where we talk about all aspects or various aspects of Werewolf the Apocalypse. And today we've got, maybe not something different, but it's been a while since we've done one of these.
Yeah, been a little while, but we also kind of waited because...
to get enough today. Yeah, it's a Q&A today, everybody. It's our second actual play Q&A.
Third.
Is it the third?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to count, so that's fine. I'm not one of you Weaver guys. I'm not into it, so.
It's not that you didn't know how to count. It's
He's not part Dracula. Leave him alone.
There you go. It's true. That's what I was trying to say.
Sorry.
That's
which is weird because I make a lot of baseball references.
This is true. You really do.
Apology accepted then.
It's like the one sport you still don't know much about.
Six to one, so two and a half dozen references of the other, right?
Two and a half dozen.
Because I don't know.
I got it. Well, the first two, we got a lot of questions really quickly. And then this one we have sat on for a while, yes.
There wasn't a lot of questions, so it wasn't enough for really an episode.
Not right away. We have a lot of questions now, but we also, waited until then.
I agree. But before we get into it.
A little business?
Well, yeah, because we've been lazy about that.
And some of them.
We've half-assed it, really. Which isn't...
It's in the show notes.
I mean, it is in the show notes. A lot of things are in the show notes. But, merits bringing up. And actually something, too, that doesn't get brought up enough is our YouTube audience.
Yeah, we've gotten a little bit of extra love from them recently. So,
we appreciate it. Because, we've had that YouTube channel like just about the entire time.
Pretty close.
And we almost never talk about it. So, hey, we want to thank all of you out there who go to our YouTube channel. And if you're not aware of it, well, it's... what you're listening to on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you're listening to. Put the episodes up every week. They're not the same day.
The audio comes up on Tuesdays and then I put the MP4 or whatever onto YouTube and that comes up on Fridays.
Yeah. So YouTube updates on Friday. So you get it a little later. That's just how that is.
Yeah. How the world works.
But also there are a couple pieces, not many, but a couple pieces of exclusive content to our YouTube channel. I'm not necessarily saying you should listen to them.
Yikes.
But we do have the Heart of the Forest playthrough or the demo.
The demo.
Yeah, we did the demo way back in season one. That was pre-release.
It was fun.
Then Danny and I have 14 parts of an Earthblood playthrough.
The first half of the game.
More or less, but we had a few. It was a cursed if thing because we lost some footage. So there were a few parts that were like, hey, we played for like an hour and all of that footage just got corrupted. So here's an hour later. We're not going back.
You didn't miss anything. Probably. Yeah,
no. And then we got like Danny had to leave or something. And like, well, we'll get back another day. And we're like, we really don't want to play this ever again. So
yeah, it was a long day. We had the file corrupted twice.
Oh, we had to reinstall the game twice.
Oh my goodness.
It was cursed. It was very cursed. It was
cursed enough to not finish it then.
Well, the game itself.
The game.
And the files.
The files are a different story.
Yeah, you weren't there. You didn't have to partake in any of that shit. All right.
I watched the YouTube clips though. Did you laughed really? My ass off at you guys.
Oh nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Funny.
I'd never heard no one has ever talked about those. Oh. I don't think.
Well, the game.
People talk about the game.
Yeah, that's
we're not let's players.
I didn't watch it for like literally. I had you guys in the background. I was just listening to what you were saying. I did not watch the gameplay at all, so I enjoyed it.
You're fine there too.
I mean, there were some funny moments.
Yeah,
most of them were glitch based.
Most of them are glitch based, or like, what is the logic behind here? Like, why is Cahul sucking off a spirit?
Yep.
Yeah, the whole day was logic based. Like, why?
Why does ketchup increase your rage? Does Carl not like Italian food? I don't understand.
Why is
ketchup Italian food? Here's a new question. That's for the sequel.
That's the sequel.
Why is there an oil refinery right outside the cairn?
Why is the Blair Witch's butthole a cairn totem?
That too. There's so many questions.
Why does this 40-year-old man not know what the Umbra is? We could go on and on, guys. We really shouldn't.
Get it together, Carl.
He should have been ranked 4.
Yeah, we could go on.
There's just a lot of things. The point is that's on the YouTube. But we wanted to do a shout-out to our YouTube audience. Thank you guys for listening.
You guys rock.
And yeah, that's the other thing, too, is if you're not aware of the YouTube, we have playlists made.
Specifically,
yes. For specific episodes. Like our Auspice series is a playlist.
Yep.
The Tribal series is a playlist. The Let's Play.
Oh, yeah.
Is a playlist.
That's the big one, because there are people who only want to listen to Let's Play, which...
Or if you want to listen to it, like, hey, I want to finally... I know there are people who haven't gotten to it yet, and or whatever. Well, it's all right there. You don't have to skip every other episode.
You can binge it all the way through. It'll autoplay it.
And we have listeners who have done it, so...
I did it in preparation for a few episodes to make sure I was caught up on everything. Wasn't forgetting anything.
See, nice. That's the good idea. I don't do that at all, but that's a really good idea. Well, it's funny because, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
Like a lot of YouTube.
Well, you're working right there. So that's your background noise.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's other, but so like the point is that the playlists were important to me.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably refine it more, but who has the time? There may be other playlists to pop up later, but we don't.
Not yet.
That's time permitting.
Yes.
Anyway, the YouTube is there and, you know. Thank you to our listeners, and you know, people have commented and we try to get to them, but look, thank you. It's awesome. Outside of the YouTube, that's it. We also, we have our website, which, our forums on there. Forums don't get a lot of use anymore these days.
It's a bummer.
But we do have some cool shit on there.
Yeah, there is some cool shit.
You know, some old articles from Nocturnus.net. You know, we've got
the news ticker is still on there.
Yes, the ticker from the original End of the World of Darkness 20 years ago. The files are on there. I saved those just I decided they should be saved. Yeah. Lo and behold, 20 years later, you know?
In retrospect, one of the smartest moves you made. For the...
No. That's probably true, full stop.
Okay, fine. I mean, fair.
It makes for some fun little fodder content to throw into games that are set in the more modern day.
And it's a fun time capsule. Because again, look, who else has those files for fucking real?
That's true.
20 years ago?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was just a ticker that was on the homepage of whitewolf.com giving you a bunch of shit, like, you know, fake news, obviously, that was going on around the end of the world.
That's awesome.
It's a cool thing.
Right? And if you like what we do, help.
Yeah.
You know, you can support us by, you know, making sure you give us those, you know, give us some good reviews, some thumbs up, shit like that, you know, stuff to help with the algorithm.
Yeah, it's weird how... Those are like the important things, because you guys just listening is really what the important part is. But like to help get us circulating, that's really what's necessary.
Right.
Like the shares, the reviews.
And beyond that, if you're in a position, we have our Ko-Fi. That's ko-fi.com/rageacrosstheinternet, which is where you could donate. If you're in a position, you like what we do, you have the extra scratch, you can become one of our backers. There are several tiers. We have various rewards for each tier. You know, a little something to say thank you. You know, give back.
The thank you for you thanking us.
For the thankful thanking.
Yes.
That's a lot of thanking.
You're welcome.
Perfect.
This is going to be around Thanksgiving, so.
Close, yeah.
Okay.
It's 2 weeks prior.
We have discussed that I'm a grown man who doesn't know when Thanksgiving is, so I'm just, I can only take your guys' word for it.
It's Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
It's still in June, right?
Sure.
Yes.
You celebrate it whenever you want. Whenever you want to eat your turkey, you celebrate it whenever you want.
I got some turkey in the fridge now.
See, you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, then.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. What?
Oh, shit.
No, but if you can, you're in a position to, we'd really appreciate it, you know. Helps keep the lights on. You know, maybe we can get Danny a Christmas present this year. I don't know. That's up to you guys, you know? Yeah.
That would be cool.
How about a new bandana?
What a fucking rationale for the current one. And of course, you could come hang out on our Discord, which...
Find that link on our website.
You can. In
the forums.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's in the forums of our website. We like to keep that to kind of...
Yeah, it's...
Keep the bots out. Keep, you know, that's it's sort of our two-form verification.
Keeps the spam out of our Discord.
Yeah, which is important. Yep. You know, it's a good bunch of people. You know, we pop on there when we can. Life has gotten, frankly, life's got a little busier for all three of us.
It's towards the end of the year. It's the entire world's fucking busy right now.
Right. Yeah. We're not around as much as we normally are, but we do come around. We do hang out, and there are plenty of really great people there.
Oh, we've built an awesome community. We love all of you guys there. And if you're not there, we want you to be.
There you go. And if you're there and you don't say a whole lot, I can, come on.
Yeah, can we do it. Yeah. You don't have to just lurk around and watch. You can join us.
Don't be shy. Say something.
Ask some questions on, like, or the next Q&A and stuff like that.
And there we go full circle, actually. Thank you, CJ, because these questions came from our Discord. So I think maybe without further ado.
Time to hit it.
I think it is probably that time. MC Tyson.
All right.
Chicken up.
Now, we're not going to go in a certain order this time like we did with the junk drawer stuff. And the Tale of Two Wolves. Well, with Tale of Two Wolves and Junk Drawer, we kind of hit the order.
Do we? What order?
I guess, you know what? Doesn't matter.
It's just questions. There doesn't need to be an order. Just ask questions.
I mean, I put these in order.
Yeah, you put them in an order by who sent them in.
Yes.
Which I appreciate, by the way. This helps a little bit.
Well, I think like it's better, right? Because otherwise it's like, okay, well, Ghostpaw sent this one in, and then Ginger said this one.
And then Ghostpaw said this one. Yep.
And then Ghostpaw said this one again. So you can just, we just can have a ghost paw corner and you know, the ginger vitus. I don't know.
Gengar.
Ginger Gengar.
Ginger Gengar.
Oh boy.
You can Gengar vitus.
The point of me bringing that up is some of them are questions, and when they sent them in is because of a specific thing that happened.
True. I mean, they are in chronological order of under the banner of the person.
Right. They're under the banner of the person, but not the banner of the timeline of the game.
Well, that's just going to be extra fun for us.
Which that was me. The point of me bringing it up.
These are questions that are compound between like the last five chapters, I think.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So. These go back a bit.
Yep.
All right. So we'll have some fun with that.
Yes, yep. We will.
So we're going to start off with Lars. How does a player character know who their mentor is? If it is the PC who has to approach them, or am I misunderstanding how Porter uses the mentor background?
Okay, I mean, this is not really actual play, and it's not, I mean, it's,
you know, it's more of
but
how
no, but I like the question. No, no,
great,
no.
It's a great question.
Yeah, that's why it's here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I put them in order.
That's fair.
Or, you know, I'm the one who,
yeah,
whatever. I didn't read all of them, but I read that one. I'm like, oh, that's
a good question.
Yeah. So yeah, what it is if you take the mentor background, you are guaranteed a mentor. And this varies depending on how the game starts, right?
Correct.
If we're picking you up off, you know, right from the black bag, you obviously didn't already have a Garu mentor if you're finding out your Garu in 20 minutes from now, you know? So it's like fetish where it guarantees you one if you don't start with it. But yeah, you do have to talk to the guy.
Yeah, you can't just assume wait.
You know, and I think the best example was Tom, your character Crimson Ghost, who had mentor, and the mentor was absolutely going to be Dead Man Dempsey.
Yep.
But you spent a while not speaking to Dempsey, and there was one point, and to be fair to Tom here, this was his first character. All right, he was still green as shit. She's like, well, hey, how come my mentor is at home? I'm like, how come you haven't spoken to him?
He scares me a little.
It's like, what do you think? He's just waiting around to give you sage. He's not Mr. Miyagi, dude.
I thought it was a Mr. Miyagi kind of situation.
Well, and this is why I'm not busting your balls. Like I said, I'm in fairness to Tom. It was your first. You were brand new. You're still, you know, you're still green, wet behind the ears and shit. So, but yeah, you have to interact with that mentor. You know, it's going to guarantee you a favorable position in that relationship developing. But yeah, NPCs is it's not Cardboard Town. They're not just standing around waiting for you to interact. You know.
Just an NPC standing there waiting.
Yep.
With the question mark above their head. Like, right. I have a quest for you.
Yeah, it's so like, you just walk up to him and click help. He's gotcha. No, you gotta talk to him.
Hit it harder. Hit it harder.
Whoa.
It's not that type of relationship.
I think that's a different kind of mentor.
Hey.
Anyway, next question.
All right, yeah. It's very much, yeah. Interaction. Interact with everyone around. And if that's your mentor, you better have a relationship with that mentor. Don't expect anything. Don't just expect anything.
Next question.
Okay. Yeah. I was just reiterating. That's all. Summarizing.
Don't need to pad this one. There's plenty of questions.
All right. This one's from Not a Gangrel. I've been wondering if anyone considered playing breeds or tribes not usually recommended for new players, like Metis, Lupus, Red Talons, different Pharah. I'll go first. No, I haven't actually considered playing any of them. This is the game about Garu. Red Talons would be interesting to play, but I don't have enough of that kind of mental stability, mentality, I guess. The mental mentality, does that work? No, it doesn't work.
The mentalicity?
Thank you. I'll take that. I don't have that kind of thought process going on just yet.
Daniel Metallotops Tyson?
Thank you.
I like that. Metallotops. Perfect.
I got a t-shirt that says that.
It's like your He-Man villain name now?
Yeah. No, I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that.
Maybe we should build off that bandana. Just put Metallotops.
Perfect. Yeah, even better. Yes, like I said, maybe a Red Talon would be eventually, but like something like a Metis, I wouldn't have any interest in doing that. They already get shit on in this, story. Not story, this
world.
Yeah, thank you. They already get shit on in this world. This world in this setting. I wouldn't be able to handle that mentally.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I think that's worthy of pride that you know that.
Yes. Yes, this is why I'm bringing it up that way. And then any of the Pharah...
It's good to know your own limits.
Right, thank you. Yeah, and any of the Pharah, no, I have no interest in playing in this kind of game.
I mean, to piggyback off that, I'm kind of the same. I would give Metis a shot, though. I think I would be able to handle that.
Eventually.
I mean, I could probably write a third. My third character could probably be Metis' character. I think I mentally could do it. But Lupus, that's definitely a no. I don't have that kind of mental fortitude to play as a wolf. I know I would not be able to do that.
Think it'd be a bit rough?
Rough. It'd be very rough. Be itchy, too. And then, obviously, this is a game about werewolves. I would not... You really had to scratch that hard. This is a game about werewolf, though, so I wouldn't even try to play a Pharah. If anything, closest you could try to convince Porter to let a Pharah play in his Anuisha, but I still wouldn't want to.
I'm sure...
There's not enough to them.
It's not that there's not enough, and it's not that Porter wouldn't allow it. If we had a good idea, he'd consider it.
Oh, 100%.
He would. If we were doing something in the Amazon, for sure.
Then yes, I would play. I would probably pull a Pharah out if we were having an Amazon type game. For sure, I'd see if I could play a Pharah.
But at the same time, we know this game's not about that.
Right. But I mean, if I'm playing a Pharah, I know that's only going to last so long. And that's the problem. It's like, I want this character to grow through many, many, many chapters. Having a Pharah, it's not.
Well, let's hear from CJ, but then I'm going to throw one. Yeah. I'm calling an audible. I'm throwing a follow-up to that to you guys.
Fair. Nice.
CJ, go ahead.
Yeah, I've played a Metis before, and if I had wanted to play like the underdog of the underdogs, I might have asked for it. But at the same time, this is my first game with Porter, and I know my own personal rules whenever it comes to starting characters with a new ST. So I didn't want to do anything that I might not be able to pull off yet. Sure. At the same time, when it came to like the non-recommended tribes for new beginners, there's not really many that aren't linked to the breed. Like, I had considered a Child of Gaia for a moment there to primarily play against type, but settled on the Stargazers, and I knew what I was getting into with this being a werewolf game, not an Amazon game, not a Handi game, not a Henki Yokai game, so didn't really consider the Pharah. If he gave me the chance to play a Korax, I'd probably play a Korax, but it needs to fit the setting.
It's completely fair.
CJ wants the free pass, I get it.
Well, so in that kind of leans into my follow-up with to you guys. I guess maybe it is a secret, but it's not anymore because I'm about to fucking talk about it. Is and the break between Chronicles here. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get finished with the first, you know, with wherever guy takes us, there's going to be a break before we start, you know, the next chapter.
Gives you a chance to write. We got to record again.
Well, yeah, you know, just fucking. But I had entertained the idea of a 2 or 3 part Henki Yokai game.
Oh, okay.
In between, where we, you know, we behind the scenes have talked about like raffling off spots.
Yeah.
Which heads up for that, you know, to our backers, I guess to regular people, to non backers too, but they're going to get a little bump in the odds for, you know, raffling off spots. Anyway, so if I were to put that, you know, if that, this happens, mm-hmm. this Henki Yokai game, what would you guys play?
Oof.
No, I already said it. It'd be a Nuisha.
That's not Nuisha. In the Henki Yokai.
It's not? I can't just bring a Nuisha in there?
No.
Come on.
Nope.
Fine, Kitsune.
Okay.
My lovable number twos.
Fox came last, you know.
I know. Yeah.
It's an unfortunately named story.
It is.
How Fox came last. Oh, no. First two rows get wet. What?
So with CJ, would you still play Korax?
I'd probably do a Tengu if I was feeling like super fucking adventurous and wanting to see if I could actually make it work. I could be tempted to try a Samibito, but that's a big if.
That's a leap, too.
I would be so tempted. No. I would be so tempted to have you come up against something that puts you in fish lupus in the middle of land to watch you flop around and suffocate. Just because they're poorly designed. Bad move, Gaia.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I love seeing fish.
Then again, getting to play in some of the places in the Asian area that are like predominantly water or islands and getting to do those attacks where you like jump out of the water, grab something and take it back under. That would be neat.
I don't know what I would play.
Well, that's why we gave you time to think about
it. I know, and I'm like, oh, but like the samurai, that was the only part that like interested me. They're all interesting, but like mostly it wouldn't just be the Garu again. And that's such a fucking cop out answer.
I mean, not the Ken's a try. I know. If you want to be
I know, but like it would probably be a Ken, but if I had to pick a number two, I would probably go back with the Redken.
You could do the Macaulay and get as close as possible to a Nerds Turtle.
Oh.
I was going to put that in there, but you beat me to it, CJ.
I was avoiding it at all costs. I was just hoping no one was going to bring it up whatsoever.
But, you know, you're going to splinter off and go to the Nezuma?
Fuck. Nicely done. Right, well. And yeah, and you know what? And shame on me for not saying the Nezuma. I apologize.
See, fun follow-up question.
Yeah, good call, yes. And I'm copping to that, too, and shame on me for not using the Henki Yokai name. But yes, that's what I would play.
See, I'm not with that. I like the idea of, you know, the Zume Assassin.
That's the first thing I thought of. Well, the second, because I can.
I have a fucking, I love the idea of, like, launching kunai with your tail.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just fucking, you got a bandolier and the tail's just grabbing them and whipping them at people while you're fucking dual-wielding katana or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's actually a badass image.
All right.
What's next?
Next would be from DMST Phil.
Hey, Philly.
Porter, what is your preferred way to pronounce each auspice? There's an obvious reason this question
came that's up. Funny. I mean, correctly.
It's correctly to your ears, though? I mean, well, people do pronounce things.
People do, you know, and it's a thing. You know, you see a word, you know, mm-hmm. and you come up with a thing, and then you hear it.
And if you haven't seen it before or heard it before, you're going to bounce off of it.
You heard a lot of this when, like, Game of Thrones was at its peak. You know, you'd mm-hmm. you go, well, Daenerys, well, that's not her name. No, I think it's Daenerys. Well, they say it on the show like 50 times an episode. So it's not Daenerys, and you're adding an extra syllable. I get how you've come to that. You know, I mean, shit. When I was a kid, you know, I look at, you know, so it was a big comic. I look at the X-Men, you know, our Southern Belle of the X-Men. I used to call her Rouge. Named, of course, after the River Rouge here in Michigan. That's where I got that. It's incorrect, but I had never heard Rogue said out loud.
Right. Fair. I could see that.
Yeah.
Because it's spelled Rouge.
Right. It's spelled the same.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Obviously. Yeah. But it'd be in context of where you live. Yeah.
Of course. It's why, but, you know, so that shit happens. But, you know, so yeah, it's Ragabash, Galliard, Philodox. I say Thirsh a lot, but I would go, it's Thirsh. Just because of my dialect, kind of slur it together as Thirsch.
You say it fast enough, and then
we're Midwestern Northern people. We say things fast, so
which I never believed until I got out of the
area. Yeah, no, we are quick speakers.
Yeah, and I still don't agree. I still don't think so.
However, we do that though, where we're like it would be Thirsch for us instead of Thirsch because we don't want to slow down on the word. We want to get through it.
Yeah, that's why that happens. It is Thirsch, but Thirsch because I ain't got all day.
And the obvious one we're bringing up.
Ahroun.
Ahroun.
Because you want it to sound strong.
Well, people say Arun, but there'd be two O's in that, like noon or soon.
Right.
You know.
But I also like it because you want it to be strong. It's battle.
That's the other argument with it, right?
That's the way I feel, but I'm with you on that argument. Like, Ahroun, it's got to have that.
Yeah, Ahroun, like around, ah, round. Minus the D.
O-U-N, yeah. Sound.
Found. We've done this a lot.
Yeah.
People don't believe us. We just point out examples.
Yeah, when we do it all the time. We used to do it a lot.
Where we'd sneak a sooned in there instead of sound.
Sooned. Yep. You don't like the way I sooned. Sorry. Or,
Marooned.
Yep.
Yeah. Just the letters together.
Spin me right rooned, baby. Right rooned like a record, baby. Right rooned, Ahroun. Now back to prefer pronunciation. Mm-hmm. I will say I like to put a little extra English on it, like Tom was saying. I like to go Ahroun.
Yeah,
it's guttural. It's guttural. It's like you're spitting the word at somebody. It's an aggressive act saying that name, just like, you know, the Ahroun are the most aggressive of the auspices.
That's always my argument. I like that. To me, that's the way it should be pronounced.
If you can do that.
It's the vibe much better.
Right? Thank you, CJ. Fucking.
Well, CJ didn't come up in your games. Did you pronounce it differently before coming to our games?
I had started off with Arun because that was what I heard all the time. Like, if you go on YouTube or look up anything werewolf, that's how they say it. Yeah, no. Now saying it so much as Ahroun or Ahroun sounds better. It just sounds better in the feel of the game, in the world, and just the general vibe. Because, you know, Arun, while it doesn't sound bad, it's a little too soft.
Fair.
I have a new player who just to start off with Arun, because it is a little easier to say if you've never tried to pronounce it before. In my own games, I don't make that much of a distinction, but anytime I say it, or an NPC says it, I try to say it as Ahroun.
I think that's fair. I mean, until there is an actual pronunciation, and technically, no one is incorrect. But again, we've had how many examples that the two letters together make that sound. So that's just how the English language works.
That's kind of what I'm saying. And then there's like the personal preference, like CJ brought it up, like Tom brings up, you know, it's more guttural. It seems more in line with the warrior, you know, the warriors, where it's, like, Arun, is it like it rhymes with cartoon?
It could just be cartoon fucking Arun.
It's spelled with the two O's?
Yes, with two O's.
Right.
Like noon and soon. Boon. Loon.
Well, we could do this all day, guys.
Yes, we could.
We have many more questions.
So, all right, Danny, next question.
All right. This one is from the village. This one is from Village Idiot Doc. Dr. Ostrich.
What's up, Doc?
I was waiting.
I stole it from Porter.
No, you didn't, because I was going to do, what's up, our good friend Dr. Ostrich?
Oh.
I was going to do a little subversion thing, but that's fine. Hey, Doc.
If you had to transplant your character into any piece of fiction that you had previously consumed, which do you feel would be the best match?
Go ahead, CJ.
This is actually pretty easy for me. Specifically with how Nightfang is set up to be in his own mentality, he would fit right at home in the world of the Dresden Files.
Really?
So that's, you thought he was going to say Batman or
something.
So
some did shit. I. Yes, yes.
No,
I
no,
did.
That's what I said. You
oh,
thought.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. If he wanted, if it was Nightwing's choice, it would be Batman. It would be the Justice League universe and everything. But if I was going off the best fit, it would be the Dresden Files. There's already a case of vigilante werewolves, and those are books about in the supernatural solving crime and supernatural conspiracies.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, I was definitely not expecting that answer. I was, yeah, I was waiting for just Batman, but good call. It's kind of a cop-out, but I would say the Supernatural, the show. But I see him more as like one of those pop-up characters that comes around every once in a while. Not like a main character who's just going to stay with him for like 5-6 episodes in a row, but like maybe an episode, one or two episodes every few seasons. One they can count on. And they know he's around, like, hey, we're in this area. We're going to need this guy's help again.
Maybe like a Crowley?
Oh, yeah, there we go. I can do that.
Because everyone else, I mean, it doesn't pay to be a guest on that show.
That's true.
It's not a ticket to a long fucking...
No, that's a good point.
But I think he was around the longest, so I was giving you that one.
Yeah. He could be more of a Crowley character, yeah.
So this is not... A shocker, guys. I don't consume a lot of fiction. I do watch a lot of anime, though.
That's a different... That counts.
Well, then, let's put him in Princess Mononoke. Because why not?
Neat.
Well...
A lot of spirits to be dealt with.
Okay.
Like, hang out with Princess Shitaka?
That would be fun.
I love saying that.
Yeah. Chili makes good stuff.
To chill with the bobblehead guys.
Yes. Right? That's, you know, I love that vision or that image of those guys. That's just it's creepy, but awesome at the same time.
I love the boars so much in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love that. That's a great fucking movie. And if you haven't seen it, go see it like immediately.
Seriously.
No bullshit. No excuses. I don't care. Just give it a watch.
Yeah. I'll second that because that's they forced me to do. And I just gave a bunch of excuses. I was like, it's anime. I'm not doing this. No, I did it. And I regret not doing it sooner.
Yeah, we're trying to fix him. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. We're not doing just, great.
Just
okay.
I'm getting there. That's what she said.
You know, we got him on Bebop. We got him with Princess Mononoke. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I got you to do Avengers vs. Mighty Heroes.
Yes. Actually, those were first.
Okay. But see, like, we're getting there. We're getting some of the good stuff. And you, Tom, you gotta fucking you too. We gotta.
I get there.
He's been sitting on Gundam for like 4 years. I want to answer this too, though.
Please. I was gonna say, do you have any? You can even give him a few if you want.
Well, see, I might because just for fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm gonna be weird shit. I'm gonna have just,
please.
Yeah, not necessarily because it's a good fit, just because I think it would be fun.
That's just as good right now.
Like, I would throw Jude Thunder Fury into King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
This was a not super well-known 90s cartoon where a guy named Arthur, who was the quarterback of the high school football team, the Knights, was transferred back into Camelot because the real Arthur and the table were missing. Yes. And so they took the place of the actual King Arthur and were given power armor. So I think two things would happen. I think Jude would get power armor, and that's amazing.
That is awesome.
And then I think he would rule Camelot.
Yeah. Yeah, he would.
Also, that was an awesome theme song, and now I got to say King Arthur in the Knights of Justice is a sentence.
Congratulations.
All of that was just for just complete self.
I just request one. Where are you putting Whiplash?
Ooh. Ah.
Sorry to put you on the spot, but he's such an iconic character. Where do you think he'd fit in
Rugrats? And I want to be clear, it's not Whiplash as a baby. He's not a Rugrat.
Oh, I was going to say
he's got to watch him.
Oh.
Because I think there's value in seeing how long he's going to put up with this and what he's going to do when he's finally hit the wall. It would secretly be a horror series.
Yes.
One of those kids says Reptar one time and they're going against a wall.
Oh, he already sacrificed Reptar to appease Boar.
Like it, right? Like, yeah, right? Like it starts off as a comedy fish out of water, like a Look Who's Talking kind of situation, and then it turns into Saw.
I would like to play a game. Perfect.
I think that's enough. I don't think I can top that.
All right, fair.
Let's move on.
Next question.
Next question from... next two questions. These two are from Tracer Smith.
Hey, all right.
Obviously, some of these questions will get answered in a few, but maybe they don't. What's going on with Lisa's arm? Is she tainted too? These are all kind of one. Should we just do them all at once, or? All right, sure. I'm just going to read them all at once. What's going on with Lisa's arm? Is she tainted too? Was she a plant to get to KT? Is she being used by the abusive gorehounds? Is she becoming a gorehound? Where is she now that KT isn't with her?
That's a whole lot of you'll have to keep listening to find out.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, Tracer Smith. There's not a lot we could say without spoiling.
I mean, I could say a lot. That would kind of ruin
it. Yeah, it would ruin it for us. Like, we don't know either. So it's also questions we have. Like, wonder if Porter will give us anything out of this one, but nope.
I can say that she's not a plant. She was a human.
There's a key word of was there. I'm just messing with you. You son of
a bitch. She could be plant food.
I mean, that's possible. Mm-hmm. But no, human. Not a plant.
Okay.
See what Sorry, Trace. Thanks for writing in.
Yeah, thanks for writing in. Keep listening. Because we don't even have those answers yet.
I do.
You do. You wrote the story.
I'm being difficult.
Of course you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just not spoiling it.
Next is from the mighty man, Drake.
Drake.
Has playing your new characters changed your views on certain tribes and auspices? Have you found a new favorite? And do they offer a challenge you didn't expect with the characters now? I'll go first and say, actually changed my views on tribes and auspices? No. The show itself has, because I no longer have a favorite, but I know what my limitations are and what I can handle and can't. So I've grown a new appreciation for that kind of stuff. Being able to play an Aron, this is new, and I like it a lot. There are some challenges that I know are coming up fairly soon that are going to make me think and not just be a brainless berserker anymore. But
have you been doing that now?
No, but maybe some might think of it that way.
I didn't get that impression.
I haven't either.
I'd actually like to see more of a big, dumb fucking lughead.
Fair.
But I ain't telling you how to do your job.
That's fair.
We're not a hive mind here.
So I'll say no new favorites and no new changed views, but a new appreciation. And yes, it's a bit of a challenge. Tribe-wise, definitely a challenge because Bonar, you know, just going off the lore of the game and just the whole setting of the game, the Bonars are looked down on as the least of the tribes. So I've already got to take that into consideration. So yeah, when I get made fun of a lot, I got to remember, I know it's because I'm a Bonar. That's just how the game goes. And it's getting fun.
I like how you've been working the with Chapter 10. Mm-hmm. The self-conscious, you know, the, oh, am I?
Yeah. Everyone, oh, yeah.
Is that me?
Yep. Thanks, absolutely. See, thank you for noticing.
No, I totally noticed. That said, you know, your tribe has not been weaponized against you at all, I don't think. But that
no.
will change.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
So there's a heads up.
I know. And I know it will. It's just because I know the setting of the game. I'm learning these characters, too. The NPCs. So I know what's going to happen. If it's already happening to Carter, who's an established character, that's the
ribbing their friend.
Yes.
You know, the first time you get up and you get mouthy and a sept and someone says, you let this fucking trash wolf speak, that's going to be the test.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that, by the way. Trash wolf, nice.
Thank you.
It's going to be like direct audio now.
No, it already will be.
Oh, perfect.
I was thinking about it the other day. In the shower.
Whoa.
I just wanted to creep him out.
Okay. Yeah, that was very, very creepy.
I know it was. You're welcome.
It worked.
So, no, I've never really had a favorite tribe.
I was actually in the kitchen.
It's just as creepy.
I'm just saying it. I know. I'm just saying it weird.
Staying with the weird, and I'm trying to continue.
Please answer the question.
I was trying, and now you threw me off. So, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've never really had a favorite tribe. I've always liked what each of them bring to the table, because they obviously all bring something different. But this tribe has proved to be quite difficult lately. I did not expect the ghost stuff to be thrown at me so quickly, but it's a bigger learning curve on top of this. I made sure that this was going to be difficult for me and to push me as far as I can go in this game, also playing as a Thurge. So it's given me a newfound appreciation of the Thurge Auspice and this tribe, and I just can't wait to keep trucking along.
Oh, I love the fact that it's been pushed on you so fast. That's what she said. But I enjoy it because not only that, it's becoming part of the story itself. Mm-hmm. Not just your story, but our story. I fucking love it like that. It's awesome.
Well, that's something I think is important. Having the spirit stuff integrate to the story, that is really on you guys, and I think that's great. Because there's a version of this game. Uh-huh. Like, say, they're the fucking multiverse, right?
Sure.
Where Dante sees a ghost and has a thing he's got to do for a ghost, and everyone's like, well, fuck you, have fun, we're going to the arcade.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're making it a pack issue is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's a total viable thing for a pack to do, to sell the Strider, go fuck off, deal with your ghost business. But it wouldn't be nearly as fun.
Totally agree.
Yep.
You guys definitely earned my respect, but more helped me out with that.
Good.
Speaking on behalf of Dante.
I don't know, I like it. I think a lot of it has to do with it's just us three now, though.
Okay, but it's not. By the time this airs, they already know.
I know, but I'm just saying that the reason in-game, I feel like that's their headspace.
Okay. All right. No. Thank you for clarifying. Okay.
Nope. In-game, I feel like it's part of the headspace now, where... we're a pack. We're together. We already suffered a loss, and we're stronger together. We need to stick together.
No, that's
actually work together.
Yeah.
The CJ.
Yeah, for me, the biggest thing whenever it comes to like how I view the tribes a little differently, I wasn't expecting to enjoy the Stargazers as much as I do because, you know, there's not a lot on the Stargazers in the Garu Nation out there. And so it's been one of those, like, figure out more of what the Stargazers mean to me and Nightfang, or what it means to be a Stargazer at that point. I will say, despite the shit that gets thrown at it sometimes, I've enjoyed the fact that this pack is willing to, tell the Philodox to get to work. It doesn't happen often in the games that I play, especially the few that I've played a Philodox in. So those are extra fun little conflicts to run into, such as, you know, hey, Jugaru alone in a room together. We know we're close. Do we really bug them?
That was a great... I had so much fun with that moment. And I wish you guys had just busted in the room. Because that was how I had it written. It was still great, though. I think we talked about that last one,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where I had them posed specifically so it looked really bad, but it was actually totally innocent.
Yep. Almost. Almost totally innocent.
No, it was.
That's the optics.
No, I'm telling you it was.
I know.
Treating her wound.
But no, he's right, though. The optics.
Yeah, the optics.
How about you, Porter? Is there any of these newer NPCs have you created? Any kind of newfound favorites?
In terms of a tribe or anything, no. You don't, I don't want to go, oh, it's old hat to me, but oh, it's old hat to me.
How about challenges?
I got a co-host. Well, let me finish a sentence.
What?
Been that way for 3 fucking years.
I know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I will say, of the group, you know, when you create these NPCs, you know, and you get out of Cardboard Town, you get them a life of their own. Sometimes they do surprise you, or they go directions you didn't expect. You know, you love all of your children equally, but you don't like all of your children equally. This is true. Ask your mother.
Oh, he's right.
No, that's not a dig, dude. I'm serious. Ask your mother. You know, she loves all of her children equally. She does not like them all equally.
it was fair because you looked right at it. Was just funny because you looked right at me when you said it.
Well, it's
because
I was talking to you. I wasn't doing a thing. I know. I wasn't doing a bit, though. But this is true. You know, and like if you come across a parent who says otherwise, they're kind of lying.
That's fair.
You know, I worked at a Rite Aid or whatever, and this debate came up again. This was someone who only had one kid. He goes, no, I like him, you know. And then, like, the regular was in there, and he overhears it, and he starts laughing. He's like, no, no, you like them different. Of course you love them all. You love them all the same. You like them at vastly different levels. So I will say, you know, I like Falling Leaf, and I like Far 4 in theory.
Okay.
You know, we haven't seen a whole lot of Far 4 yet. You've seen a lot of Far 4 in a scenario, and that's about it. You've seen a little bit more of Falling Leaf, but me, Mia and Bodhi, I have really latched onto. I love Mia and Bodhi. I love their dynamic. I love their background, their history. I'm very, very fond of Mia and Bodhi.
I agree on that one. Probably my two favorites of the whole pack.
That's what we got next.
It's just been a lot of fun.
They have been. And yeah. You don't like CG, and you've got the write-up. I mean, these guys saw too, but you've got the write-up for the NPC of the month. They're fucking... You know?
So it's mm-hmm. a package deal.
Yeah, it's absolutely a package deal.
All right, the next question goes to Barks the Litany. How do you stop yourselves from bringing in player feelings when reacting as characters? CJ, I'll let you go first.
I mean, for me, it's fairly easy to keep out of character feelings from influencing in-game a lot of times, because I've played in tabletop games a lot. Well, not as long as the others, but it's something I've gotten experience in, and it's also just a game. For the most part, like, unless it's something actually being done personally for whatever reason, not that hard to draw that separation in my mind.
I tend to not usually have this issue either. I think when we first started, there might have been a few times where I got a little mad at Danny's character, but it was me personally getting mad and not Ghost. That did happen a few times, but...
Oh, you're talking when we first started playing?
When we first started playing, but with Dante, I've not really had the issue. Because with Ghost, I learned how to control my personal feelings away and try to keep myself in his headspace.
I don't think I have a whole lot of trouble with this issue either. I know sometimes I do get frustrated as a storyteller, because I feel like I have given you guys
enough,
right? Like I've painted a bunch of arrows on the wall that says this is the way to go. And you guys are like, I don't think this is it. this doesn't feel
right.
Right. You, like you it need doesn't like feel three like more we have arrows. Any, right. And so sometimes, you know, like it's that that'll sometimes, but you know, and you guys know me pretty well. If I get fired up about something, I'm usually fired up about it for about 10 minutes. And unless it's a real mm-hmm. problem, mm-hmm. it's done.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is your experience with me. I mean, if it's not fucking...
That doesn't even take 10 minutes. It's like a couple minutes and then it's
fine.
It's over.
Well, shit, Danny and I had a little dust up today for...
No apparent reason.
5 minutes?
Yeah. It
was, maybe?
Yeah. It was so dumb. It's like, we know we're friends. Why is this a problem?
Right. Because, you know, people get fired up and that happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, I know these guys fucking, no one's meaning to do nothing. Fucking things happen. But I mean, that isn't even in game.
No.
So that's almost a different thing entirely. Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, like, yeah, for me, it's, I think the frustration is, I will tell a story if I can.
Please.
Cause this was an example of me getting a little salty, and it was during the actual play. It was one where, Tom and Cassie, like the pack split up into mm-hmm. two different areas, and Tom decided to use the right of the questing stone to find Falling Leaf. Remember this?
Yes, I do.
And what Tom didn't know is the unfortunate disposition of Falling Leaf, that chapter, I was already working on.
Yeah, that wasn't
it. It was like another, two stories later.
Two stories.
But I was already working on it. And so now he's in a position to where he used the right of the questing stone too, right? So it can't be like they were just searching on their own and I could have him just find fuck all. Mm-hmm. It was going to point to his location. And he starts to do it, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of pissed because I'm like, and pissed maybe isn't the word.
Irritated
and frustrated.
I don't even know if that was it. Because that wasn't the part that got me. Because it was like, fuck, what am I going to do? Right? first of all, it's going to destroy this story I had planned in advance, but this story was planned for everybody. So I already know what's going to happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And you guys have heard that story by now. You guys played it. It aired. Mm-hmm. So imagine two Garu infiltrating that fucking bunker.
Yeah. That would have been very different.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a different I don't story. Think you get out.
Nope.
So now I'm in a position where if I just follow this thread, I'm killing half of the pack because they split up for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's be clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like the way I'm looking at it is like you gave them the left, you gave them the right path, and they decided to hop on the freeway instead.
A little bit. But like, you know, it wasn't even something you could see coming because why would the pack split up arbitrarily?
Yeah, we weren't.
You know, there was a disagreement.
Teenagers having an argument.
But, I mean, you know.
But at the same time, it's kind of the basis of this question, right?
Right. So, but here we go, right? So what happened was, is I paused the game. You guys were all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I paused the game and took, I don't know, like maybe 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
To write something up.
Yeah, to figure out what the fuck to do next. And I did it. I think I went to the bathroom. I don't remember. But, you know, I came back with a plan, and I sat down, and I'm like, all right, here's the plan. And Tom goes, never mind, I take it back.
No, I didn't say never mind, I take it back. I mean, obviously they heard it.
That was an actual quote, but.
Yeah, obviously they heard it. I didn't say that. I said, okay, we know where he is. We know he's alive. But I had changed it because of the way you reacted, and obviously I knew it was for something further on, and that's why I was like, I don't want to spoil that. But
like, look, I wasn't in the room for you making that decision.
Right.
Okay, I don't know.
Right.
All I know is I went out of my way to rewrite the whole story and spent 20 minutes on a thing, and I come back and I got the solution. We're going to make this happen. Okay. We're going to be all right. And you're like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like you changed it. So it's like you made me do all that shit for nothing. That's what pissed me off.
Yep.
Twice.
And you deserve to be mad about that.
And again, it was a blood feud, I swear. You know, it's fine now. But I mean, I think there's a real world example of something that happened.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I got pissed. I got pissed because I had to do all that extra work for you put me through that shit for nothing.
I apologize.
Yeah, cool. It's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to the basis of the question. And I would imagine this question was brought up around the breakdown.
Probably, you know, I would say of the current group,
mm-hmm.
You have the hardest time with this kind of thing.
I do. I do have a hard time, and I feel like I've gotten better, but I still have a ways to go. I mean, I'm an emotional guy. It's just
he cries constantly.
Right now,
he's not afraid to cry. What?
He cries and cries and cries and cries.
Thanks, guys. So helpful. I do. I get very emotional. I tend to see red very, very quickly, which is kind of funny why I picked the Auspice Aharon, because I think I am an Aharon. I try. I really do try, but sometimes, like, it does. The rage will get the better of me. Frustrations happen, but I'm working on that.
I think you're better about it than you're
believing to be.
Yeah. I was mm-hmm. gonna say that you give yourself credit for, but yeah, that's not how that sentence works.
That's not how the sentence works, but I know where you're getting at. Yeah. You're better than you think.
Yeah, you're a little too hard on yourself here, but I mean you are the worst about it.
Yeah.
That's a given, yeah.
Of the four of us.
Yes. That's fair.
But you're not as bad as you think you are.
No.
So, and yes, the part of the game where he was acting off his rage, but I feel like maybe when he started acting off the rage, I might have taken it a little too far at times. So, it's difficult to do, to try and keep that.
Well, I think that's part of why we dissuaded you from your original version of Ricochet.
Oh, yeah, you would have agreed. Had a lot harder of a time.
Yep.
Oh, 100% agreed on
because
that.
Yeah. You'd have been picked on. Constantly.
Yep.
Because that was character, you know, that was the mouthy smartass guy who couldn't back it up.
Yep.
So you were always kind of like Mouth in the Goonies.
Oh, I was basing off that, yes.
Yeah. And so that with a Bonar.
Yeah, it was doubly. Like,
yeah.
Doubly bad. Yeah.
That is getting picked on the character.
Yes.
Yep.
And Tom and I were like, you're not going to be able to handle that.
Nope. We both kiboshed your intro.
And I appreciate it. You guys saved me. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So, all right, well.
Good on you for the attempt to make that character. like being willing to try it at least.
Yeah, I would say I can do half of it. We're going with the Bonar part.
And we'll see once I start leaning into the Bonar part.
But I think now, like I've at least grown accustomed to it. Now I'm used to it. I know it's coming, so it's better.
Ew.
Fair.
But I mean, you know, again, it's, we're all friends here. Shit, we're family sitting here.
Yeah.
You know that.
Absolutely. If I wasn't getting made fun of by these guys, I would think something was wrong. How about that?
Yeah.
We all make fun of each other.
Yeah, if we didn't make fun of you, I'd be worried.
Right.
Hey, no, at least Ricochet is a full Garu, not half, not like half.
He's not three-quarter Garu, like one of one.
Yeah. We know. Yeah, right.
Okay, thanks, guys.
I am Jaeger Limby of the Geta Fenris. What? Oh, okay. See, look, look, he's getting upset now.
See, it's Jaeger Tripod. Jaeger Tripod's coming out.
Jaeger Tripod? Jesus. All right, next question. From Walks with Old Wolf. What's Far Four's auspice?
None of your business. Actually, first of all, if memory serves, if not, oops, sorry. But I believe Walks might be a new father about right now.
Oh.
Or pretty soon. So we haven't seen him in a while. I knew he had a lot of stuff going on. And if I remember correctly, he had a baby on the way. And it might be about that time. So congratulations.
Congrats, hopefully. Man.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope, yes.
You know. Congratulations, and I hope everything's going well on that end. To answer the question, none of your business. No, here's the thing behind the scenes, and this isn't something that was public. You know, I never said because I had been teetering between two auspices.
That I had a pretty good idea.
Well, I think I told you that.
Even beforehand, I had a pretty good idea. Like, he's not sure which one, if it's this one or this one.
And yeah, by the virtue of us having these games recorded, I couldn't say one. Because, like, you know, like, if we were recording these, right, I could have just said one and then, like pretended you two were crazy. You know, like, that's not what I said. Fucking learn to listen.
Yep. Now that it's recorded, it's a...
yeah. I gotta,
it's on there forever.
Right. So I will say, officially, he is a Ragabash.
Mm. Wow. I didn't expect it.
Okay.
I was expecting Ahura.
Again, and it was between Ahura and Ragabash.
Oh. I didn't even know what the other two were. I just had in my head my guess.
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was between those two for me, and he's Ragabash.
Cool. Well, now that we know. All right. Next question from Criterion. The pack keeps walking past a magic shop. Are we talking New Age crystals or pick a card, any card, kind of magic?
Yeah, Alana's magic shop is like tarot card. Just New Age.
Hmm. You don't think we ever actually looked in, so.
You did, didn't you go in? You did go in at one point, didn't you?
Oh, during the
you didn't go in for what Lisa saw? No, I scripted it that way.
KT's.
That's right. I scripted it that way, and she ended up calling them to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I scripted it. You guys going meeting KT at the
magic shop. Magic shop.
Just didn't happen yet.
It just didn't happen that way.
Because of the way we like to turn left and then up.
Which, again, that's a small fix, but I scripted it. You guys meeting her at the magic shop.
All right, now, it's fitting we have four corners, and we have four people who've just brought in a ton of questions, so each one of you gets your own corner. This one is the...
This room's a circle.
No. It's a circle. Each one gets your own corner. The
corner's in a circle.
Yeah, no. I'm not even entertaining it. This one is the Age of Sandro corner. Thanks for sending all these in, Aegis. It's awesome. Oh, man, there's a lot of these. Okay. Why are the players not discussing or even acknowledging the time KT drained Gnosis? Or was something their characters didn't even notice yet? And again, remember, these questions are not in any kind of order, so this was before certain things happened. So I think at first, because the only time that happened to was me and CJ, and we... You know, it's not something you discuss because you're not really sure if the other person felt it. But now that it's happened multiple times and we've talked to Magnifique about it. Yeah, agreed.
I do remember the first time it happened. I had asked Porter, hey, what does this feel like? Because I never knew it was a thing.
Yep.
To kind of get how to play. And it was just that like we were feeling exhausted, but I don't think he's necessarily put it together. Just knowing dealing with an angry KT is exhausting.
And I think that's well said, you know, because I think the right way, whatever, you know, to portray, you know, losing Gnosis or something like that is, to feel a little bit more spiritually drained or exhausted, you know, a little tired, but like, it's not like you checked your Gnosis bar. You know what I mean?
Check your arm.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's, look at the tattoo on my arm with the health bars.
I got about 3 temps left. We're good.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's like, it's, how do you really put your finger on that, you know, so.
All right, then next would be expanding to the other question, why the characters had not suspected KT of being a lost cub, at least. Is she immune to delirium, attracted to strange things, killed as Greg? Gaius sent them to protect her, even as Calliope, she being a lost cub is a very fair assumption. Yes, you are correct. It is still a very fair assumption. We still don't know what she is.
Not Garu. Not after making things turn into butterflies.
Yeah, that we've...
Yeah.
Okay, then yes. At the time of the question, that was still a very fair assumption. Fair,
yes.
Yeah.
Because some of these are older, so yes.
As of now, since certain things have happened, that's really the only thing we can say definitively. She is not a lost cub. Mm-hmm. Porter's got his hand raised. Like,
what about a Dracula? Do you think she's a Dracula?
You've seen the day.
I mean, no, I don't think she's a Dracula.
Well, you said the only thing.
She's not very good at counting, so no.
Okay, so it's also a fair assumption we can assume she's not a Dracula.
Or a Wraith.
Okay, boy, there are do a lot I of have a one surprise for you.
There are a lot of things we can fairly assume she is not definitively, but we don't know for sure what she is yet. It's still...
She's not a Femora.
Fucking hell. All right, I give up.
Is she a Muppet?
Ooh. Like I said, there are a lot of things we can say she's definitively not.
Well, now we're just messing with you.
Yeah, I know. I'm losing. I'm going away.
I was always messing with
you. What's it called? The main reason for Nightfang not suspecting that she was a lost cub is she seems just a little too old, and there wasn't as much cartage where the Scrags got fucked off.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Yeah, turning into just part of the nature doesn't really translate into
another to kill them is just fuck them off.
Once again, in his mind, she is also just a little too old to be a first changer or lost cub that hasn't been picked up by now.
I mean, it's not without precedent, but I mean, again, the logic is solid.
Mm-hmm. All right, and the next one says, for Porter, the stomach pains were always around Wendy's. A reaction to the player's action or just something of last minute when they entered their Umbra?
No, that was planned. This was especially true after the destruction of the Wendy's, because now the home where they congregated was destroyed, so they're just kind of milling about.
That's kind of what I saw it as. Makes sense. For all of us, what aspect of your tribe would you like to see more in the game? Like the ghosts for Silent Striders, or the conflict of the Stargazers leaving the nation? I'll say the conflict for the Bonars is already starting there, and we just discussed it. There's more coming. I know it's happening, so. And even for Tom and Dante.
Ghost stuff's happening.
The ghost stuff's already happening.
Boog it out.
But I guess for as far as like the Stargazer stuff, that's more of a Porter question rather than a CJ question.
I think it is a CJ question, because it's what do you guys want to see?
Oh, fair.
So.
I mean, I'd imagine if there was going to be any real like attention paid to that concept, because the Striders haven't left the nation, right, Porter, at this point?
No, the Stargazers, and no, they have not.
Stargazers.
To bring that around,
like, I can imagine.
Yeah, to bring that around real quick, like Jonas Albrecht is still a drunk in the park right now. So, like, Morning Kill's still alive. We got a ways before that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like I could imagine hearing some like lip service or something between Falling Leaf and Dodger, but I don't expect to see much of the whole conflict of the Stargazers leaving. I do want to see, and I've talked to Porter about this a little bit, like, let's see some more Kylindo stuff, maybe get Nightfang training into it.
That'd be cool.
It's just a fucking cool... Yeah, it's a cool thing that he could do.
Got to get you a mentor.
He's, I don't want to say he's surrounded by stargazers, but there are more stargazers than anything else right now in that sept.
That's true.
Got you outnumbered.
Y'all gonna meet with chopsticks from now on. Fucking only talking in haiku.
Only talking haiku.
If you could pull that off, that'd be. I
think that's where I'm gonna have to pull an audible.
Let's see. I might say challenge accepted.
Okay.
I'm not.
I'm horrible with haikus.
In fact, stay tuned for chapter 11. I'm kidding. That's not in haiku.
Okay.
Could you imagine?
No.
I think y'all owe me money. If I pulled off that whole story in haiku.
Yeah, I
would probably give you a 20 or something for that.
20? Shit.
But I have some zeros after it. A 10-page script in haiku? Fuck off.
That's a lot of fucking work. All right, then the next one is... Porter, what was your plan if the pack split and one or more remained with KT? And again, we're looking at time here, so...
Well, judging by the era of the questions, right? Mm-hmm.
This would be when we were arguing.
Probably.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, I guess there we go with that, right? Mm-hmm. Largely, it would have been... I would have had to run, or would have had to run the unfortunate, you know, disposition of Falling Leaf. But what probably would have happened is that he would have broke out on his own. And you guys would have rendezvoused with him, like met up with him as you were starting to explore. You know, the alarms would have went off because he escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably wouldn't have been a fox frenzy. You would have had to contend with his berserker style.
Oof.
All right, that is kind of awesome, because the next question is, what would happen if the pack looked for Fallen Leaf before or after? Or what was the best time for that?
When the storyteller said so.
I mean, yeah. And I guess since that one is focused on Fallen Leaf, I guess the other side, maybe we focus back to KT. I think what would have happened on the KT side is y'all would have played like cards or something. I mean, you laugh, but it would have just been like a bottle episode while the other two of you were getting probably slaughtered by Falling Leaf at Twilight.
Jesus. That's true. Christ,
yeah.
You see why?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad that I pulled it back, too.
So am I, but at the time I was not.
Yeah.
Quit screwing with me. That's what it felt like.
I haven't screwed with you since.
Yeah. Would have been an interesting juxtaposition, getting to see here are these guys desperately fighting for their lives to try and stop Falling Leaf. Here they are playing cards and just having a drink.
You know, I'll be honest. Because, you know, I when I write, you know, a lot of time I picture this shit. You know?
Yeah.
It's like I'm watching the show as I'm writing it. You know?
Oh, so, I do the same when we play.
Right, so imagine that, right? Like, is you have the scene, right? And it's red lights. Like the red lights are on. And they're flash and there's the alarms. And you see Falling Leaf and he's coated in... fucking, like, he's covered in blood, but because of the red lights, right, it all kind of bleeds in, blends together.
Mm-hmm.
So it just looks like he's wet, not that he's bloody.
Hmm.
And he's, like, he's leaping, you know, he's leaping over at Dante, and he slashes down and, like, rips through your shoulder, you know? And you're scrambling away, and, like, you're down your feet, and he comes down and, like, drops his heel. Like, he would have crushed your temple, but you just rolled away right away. There's a big dent in the floor, like anime style. Then you flash over to the apartment, and there's Ricochet and KT and Nightfang, and they're just quietly sitting around the table. Do you have any threes?
Go fish.
Go fish.
Oh, jeez. I have the full image now. It's like,
you know what that reminded me of?
This is a TV show.
Like, yeah, I just put that, yeah.
The 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, with Raphael
and the roof. Kind of
like that, yeah.
Yep. And
I already actually know that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else is out with April, and they're in their little antique shop.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, kind of like that.
And the constant switching back of the scenes.
Only way more violent and way more mundane.
Yep. Good. That was awesome.
Thank you.
I'm shocked I actually remember that scene.
Might get the small little scuffle if somebody starts cheating at cards between Ricochet and Nightfang. And it's nothing compared to what's going on in the other scene.
Yeah, I can see that.
Flash back again, and like half of the flesh on Dante's face is ripped off, and he's like crying. Like, please don't. I saw you pocket that three.
It knocks the cards out of his hands for the one scene, but then you switch over and it's actually so like the claw going scraping across the face.
I said I wanted the last Coke.
Nice. All right, then the last one.
Brutally murdered right now. I'm just like, okay.
Last one from Aegis. And again, Aegis, thank you, because a whole ton of these questions. That's awesome. Appreciate it. Would the Pack press to raid the place if Fallen Leaf didn't try to escape? Was the previous encounter with the Scorpion guy and his team a factor to not stay and fight?
Well, no, he's asking if, you know, if you would have still gone for the to the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
If not for Falling Leaf.
I think if not for Falling Leaf being there, I don't think we would have gone to the bunker as soon. It probably would have taken us finding like stuff escaped from it already. Oh, the fact that like we didn't stick around once Falling Leaf started leaving, I think that was not influenced very much aside from the, oh shit, he's running.
Makes sense.
Don't want Krynos hitting the street.
Right. That too.
Well, I'll actually... I don't know. I don't want to say I do. I'll do you guys one better, which I don't really know if is appropriate here. But what leads you to believe that, quote, the Scorpion guy was in that bunker?
Well, I don't think...
I don't even think that.
No, I'll tell you, he's not. Well, like, no. If you would have chased that van, it would not have led to the fucking easy storage.
I think this is more of a question, like, you know, because how close those two stories are happening... Was there any kind of influence of, you know, we just had this major fight, we just had a major loss, and now we're going to do this again? Was there any kind of influence here?
Okay, so you're let's go find Falling Leaf rather than let's go after the guy. I took it the other way. My bad, Aegis.
I'm guessing. I'm not 100% sure, but
that sounds more right to me. That's my mm-hmm. bad.
It's definitely we were going after Falling Leaf no matter what, regardless of whatever situation happened prior to that.
Yeah. And a big part of that too is we're Garu. We have a job to do. Yeah. We know it. Like, shit happens. We're going to suffer losses and we know it. And it sucks, but fucking get over it and do your job.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Sometimes doing your job is your way of working through it.
Good call. Yeah. Is there influence to it? Yes. But you have to get over it because we got shit to do.
Certainly.
So, again, Aegis, thanks for all the questions. Appreciate it. And the next corner goes to Ginger.
Sure, it's not a circle.
There are no corners in a circle.
Well, then why are you the corners for?
The next corner goes to Ginger.
Gengar.
This one's for the whole pack. What's your preferred way of engaging in a possible hostile situation? Stealth, direct confrontation, or getting someone else to do it for you, etc., etc.
This current characters?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, because I had a whole different fighting style with my last character. This one is just get up in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same with me.
This character, just get in it and just start fighting. Try to get yourself in a better position than your enemies.
Yeah, yep, same.
Siege?
Way Nightwing's thinking about it, he would much rather actually us do most of our fighting from stealth, or at least to a position where we can get the drop on them. He wants to be the one to hit first. If we hit first, then there's a chance we win.
It's true.
Without much reprisals, but if we get hit first, then there's a chance they win first round.
So yeah, so you're a little bit of both then. You're a little bit of stealth with a little bit of right in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Whereas, yeah, definitely with Ricochet, it's just, it's not think first and then act later. It's act now and there's time for thinking in a little bit.
Well, I think I'd like to quote our, I'd say our dear friend, but inspiration to all, Ash Williams.
Oh, okay.
When I say shoot first, think never.
I like it.
In character and out of character, who out of the whole group, including Porter, is the best at delivering bad news? Not Ricochet. And not Danny.
What kind of bad news? Just has bad news?
Yeah, just bad news.
Well, there's levels of bad news.
Well, that's the thing, is in character, not a character, too, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I was included in this. It's like, which character? Shit.
I know that Ricochet or Danny is not an answer for either of these. So.
Yeah, Nightfang, certainly not one of the best because, well, especially depends on if it really involves him or not. Me, I feel like I do it pretty well. I dance around the issue just a little bit to ease in, but I'm going to just be outright and say it.
I feel like Dante would just be blunt. Just, here's the news. Take it. And then myself, I would dance around it a lot before actually delivering the bad news.
So I think you would be the best at both these, in character and out of character.
Oh, Dante's just, he's not even going to sugarcoat it, usually. He's just going to give it to you.
Just no,
he's the bad news.
Not going to ease it in, no deep breath.
I disagree, because you did the exact opposite of that with KT and Kyle.
Glad you caught that, Sitch.
I caught it, I was trying not to.
Caught what?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you did the exact opposite of that with Kyle and KT.
Well, with KT... That was you guys wanted to give the information, and I just was, nope, because you wouldn't listen to our side of the story.
No.
That's not what happened.
Come on. Oh, my God. Stop that shit right now. Bring that shit right back around.
Like, we can see how fucking pleased you are that you set us up with that. But yeah, fucking
fuck you.
People are going to believe
I tried.
You didn't even believe in that argument.
I half did at first. And then I was just like, nah, this isn't right. But it was fun.
See, at least he admits it. That's the thing. Fine. It's admitted.
Thank you for admitting it. Still a jerk.
Sorry, not sorry.
But no, the point is that you're saying that, but like you did the exact opposite when it came to KT.
Okay, but it's also the character still growing. As I look at the character now.
Which, then say that.
Well, he is. You can tell because our ears work.
Like, what would Dante do if he had to deliver the bad news to Bodhi that Mia died?
I would take Bodhi out back and just tell him.
Take him out back? Jesus.
Well, yeah, it sounded a little Old Yeller there.
Well, because he's probably going to flip the fuck out. So yes,
sorry, Bodhi. Mia died.
Look at the flowers.
Nice. Hey, everyone who has a living sister-in-law, raise their hand. Not so fast, Bodhi.
You'd lose that hand.
Why would I lose that hand?
Why is he raising a hand?
Well, because you put your hand out to say that, and then you'd lose the hand. And it would just be Tom, not you.
Bogus.
Porter just wins at both of them, regardless of what character he chooses.
I don't know.
Whiplash.
Okay.
We talk about him enough on the podcast, so.
So sorry about, Mr. and Mrs. Pickles.
Tommy had to go.
He just wasn't cutting it.
It was a dud. You can make a new one. I put what's left of him in this jar.
You can hold on to that for a while.
I'd say Dempsey might be the best because half the time they wouldn't know what he's saying.
Oh, correct.
Oh, it's the best bagel. Everyone gets that. It's crazy. It's a little bitch. I can throw him away. There you go. Check the disposal. I gotta go. Take it easy. Something like that.
Again, that's two characters that would just, there it is. There's your bad news.
How about Jude? What kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
You asked me here to watch the dog. I did that.
All right.
Question is, why do you have all this baby stuff here? It's a little suspicious. Maybe we should get the authorities involved.
Okay.
Got a high chair, but no baby food, but no baby diapers? You got diapers here, but you don't have a baby?
The cops look in the basement?
Yeah, maybe the neighbors should tell the neighbors about what you're into. You make a good living, don't you, sir? Look at that. Fucking, that's probably not you, but that's not the point. That's having fun.
Okay.
Sorry.
Until today's episode, I didn't consider how it would feel to have Gnosis aside from it being a spiritual connection. Nightfang and Ricochet described feeling really tired after that happening. Is that something y'all agreed upon beforehand, or is that canon, so to speak? I just thought it was really neat. And we didn't really discuss it beforehand. It was more of, hey, this happened, and then CJ saying, well, what does that feel like? And then, yeah, you explained it.
Just I don't, draining. I believe that. I believe that's how that went. I don't know, but I believe that.
It was just something along those lines, at least.
Well, it's a thing, right?
That's how I remember it.
See, that's good, because, like, I don't remember. You know what I mean? Like, there's the stuff you remember and the stuff you don't, because for me, it's just hanging out with my friends, and this is what went on. You know, there's the stuff you remember. And
All right, then next is, this is the question for the whole pack. How do you feel about your characters and how they've developed since the beginning? Have they changed in certain ways, or perhaps become even more rigid in their beliefs? And perhaps a more meta-ish question, do you feel like you play your characters in the way you had thought you would?
This thing with Nightfang, like his changing of perspective, it is mainly just a change of perspective of he's starting to get that realization of, oh yeah, this is real. This is how things are going to be versus the comic book ideal that he'd been working with. Like, yeah, Mia tried to tell him about this, and yeah, he said, yeah, no, I get it, I'm fully prepared. It's different when you actually go through it. Now, am I playing him different than I originally thought I would? Yes. That's because people actually gave pushback on being too much of a kid at first, which I would fully fucking expect from most other Garu. Might not play how I thought he would, but it plays in a way that makes sense.
That's awesome.
My character, I remember speaking about this probably in the last Q&A.
Maybe.
I definitely have changed the way that this character is being played than how I wrote it. But I like the way this is going a lot more than the way I wrote it, because the way I wrote it, he was an asshole. This way, he's more of a sage-type creature. He's more relaxed. He's trying to be bringing more calmness due to what he has to deal with.
I can say, Ricochet is a lot more rigid now, especially. Yeah, definitely not what I expected to start with. Although I am trying to keep as much as possible to the original way. Not the smartass who couldn't back it up, but the, you know, one to defend and one who has, like, trying to feel like the emotional connection to all defensively. But still very, very rigid. And then next, she asks, how do you feel about KT being part of the pack now? In character or out of character, would you all try and see what kind of power she has? And yeah, I do feel like KT is the fourth, fifth member of the pack. Yeah, she's very much part of the pack.
Do you call her a regular Coho Jill?
I'm not answering.
I mean, we definitely are sharing a lot more information with her and going to her for a lot more issues. So yeah, I would say she is definitely becoming a part of the pack, even though she's not Garu.
But I fucking love it that way, though. I think it's awesome. KT is part of this pack.
She's the fifth Beatle.
Nice. I'll take it. What about you, CJ? Yeah,
April O'Neil. She's the April O'Neil to our Ninja Turtles or Oracle Batman. Oh, even
better. Yeah, excellent. And, you know, I will say that's how I wanted it to be. That it was what I had in mind for her and you guys in terms of the relationship.
Well, you laid the groundwork out very well.
It could have went a different way.
Could have. But I'm really glad that you guys started embracing that and including her because, you know, it was... I mean, the debate to
have you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I will say, and I think also is like thinking about, you know, hey, let's take KT on a camping trip and go test out what she can do to see if, like, you know, we could figure out how to actually have her powers work so we don't have to worry about, you know, hey, are these not going to help if another Gorehound tries grabbing her?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can turn it into butterflies.
Nice. All right, then the last question from Ginger. What are your favorite songs from the time period you're all are in? In character or out of character, it's all up to you. Remember, 1993.
You can amend that to early 90s. I mean, we ain't going to be that strict on it.
Okay, fair.
I mean, like, really, certainly I don't think anyone here is going to go, that's from 1994. Fuck off, man. You can't like that song. It's an interesting question.
Don't even look at me. I'm not a big music person.
I grew up in the 90s. The early 90s songs were kind of my thing.
Something by the Beastie Boys? I don't know.
Beastie Boys is up there. Some old school hip hop. Shit. OMC, How Bizarre.
That's actually a good song.
And Porter just...
I know, he hates it.
Oh, I do. I hate that song.
Yeah.
I hit all those people with my car.
For me...
Here's one for Tom.
For the era, for me, it's... Green Day and Queen, mostly. Nightfang, he's just whatever's on the radio.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, for Rick Shea, it's whatever's on the radio at that point. But, like, Tom, you know, number 36 top 100 song of 1993 was? I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That by Meatloaf.
There's a random...
That's for you. Meatloaf. That's number 36 of the top 100 for you in 1993.
Okay.
Now, because I can't see him, I'm curious if he actually just looked that up or knew it off the top of his head.
Oh, no, I looked it up.
Yeah, he looked it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. Just
weird.
This is such a stretch for a really terrible joke.
He's like, I don't understand. Was it a joke?
It was just for you.
Lyrics.
Oh, I see.
Such a stretch for a terrible joke.
Okay. I see what you did there. I'm going to give you points for the fucking attempt. I'm going to give you points for taking that shot. It didn't land at all.
I know.
But I give you, like... Points.
I'll take points.
Wait, yeah. I knew exactly where he was going with it. I didn't get a laugh.
I thought he was just having a stroke. Like, what the fuck does Meatloaf have to do with anything?
Because of my quest.
No, I got there. But at first, I'm like, what the fuck's happening?
All right. There's the list from Ginger. So that's half a room down. We've got two corners to go. Thank you, Aegis. Thank you, Ginger. Then the next set of questions. These come from Andre.
Woo!
How did your characters feel after what happened in Wendy's? Did they feel guilty for killing KT's friend, or do they see it as a necessary job?
Oh, that was a necessary job.
It's half and half. I mean, it sucks, but it had to be done.
Yeah, Nightfang felt super fucking guilty at first, but that's how he did rationalize it, was, hey, this was necessary.
Agreed.
And I mean, to be fair to him, he was already gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, at that point, tough at that point. Yeah, it's already done. All right. Simple ones. Porter, how do you come up with these Banes and Fomores for the actual play? Do you have any ideas that you decided to not use? And if so, why?
Well, obviously, we just did an episode on creature design. So I'd point you to that one. I mean, really, I think that's the best answer.
Yeah, that is going to be the best answer.
As far as stuff cut, I will say this. There was a scene that happened differently enough that I'll talk. I can do this.
Okay.
And it just happened because 10-2 will have aired already. Mm-hmm. So the reveal for Teddy Talltale was going to be different. I had envisioned, first of all, it happening during the daytime.
Mm.
Is, you know, you guys were going to break in the house, not in the neighbor's house. Right.
Okay.
And, you can see what's happening. The retrieval team showed up, you know, and it's the front door, back door, and the paws, the looking at each other. And, obviously a fight breaks out. And while the fight breaks out, Teddy leaves.
And goes to the neighbors.
Across the street.
Okay.
Just wandering. Yeah.
Jesus.
So the image was going to be Teddy Talltale. In, like, you know, the six members of the family trailing behind him in broad daylight.
Oh.
And in my head, the theme, the Teddy Bear's Picnic, would be playing.
Oh, my God. So creepy.
Nightmares for this gentleman over here.
Oh, they haven't stopped.
All right.
All right, next question is, why was Kyle greasy?
Because Fomori.
Fomori.
He got... working at a fast food place.
Yeah, lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Eating the tainted burgers, the grease was just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, this one's kind of already answered, but were the stomach things, their gut rilers, hunger beans? And why were there so many?
Well, again, because they were being, their breeding ground was the Windies. So that's where they were coming from. They were hunger adjacent. Like I said, again, in the creature design, it's not something that I like to, if you're too specific with where it came from, you're kind of pigeonholing yourself.
Mm-hmm. For each of us, who does our character trust the least?
I never thought about that.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think he trusts any one person any less than another, but he's still having a hard time trusting anybody. I think the only two he trusts more than anybody else are, right now, Dante and Nightfang.
I don't trust Lisa.
Okay.
I got a real answer and a joke answer. Real answer, Lisa. Joke answer, Ricochet, because he doesn't know what discretion means.
Ooh.
All right.
I mean, I was going to say Ricochet because he's a dirty bone gnar, but actually CJ's answer is way better.
Yep.
Why did you blow it up my sputty?
All right.
Why did you introduce me by my deed name to the stranger who we think is kinfolk?
Who do they trust the most? And Dante and Nightfang. That's it.
Falling Leaf.
Hmm. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his pack, so of course you trust them, but definitely Falling Leaf and probably Bodhi.
Bodhi is my number two.
All right. And then for Porter, one word to describe your favorite scene to come.
Well, there's the thing is, this is tricky because it's the, this is back to the Aria Timoverse, which doesn't make sense to anyone, but when this airs or will, but right now doesn't.
Right.
So I can answer the question. I don't meet. It's a thing that by the time this airs, it will have already happened. But as of yet, they haven't heard it.
I know.
So my answer is meat.
Damn Timeovers, man.
The RAA Timeovers.
All right. Then the last corner of the four-cornered room of a square.
The coroner's corner squared. The circle gets you squared.
Goes to Ghost Paw.
Woo! All these squares make a circle?
It's hit yes, to be square. Do.
I might be a little behind on the question with roleplay with RP13. Didn't anyone look for the guy who was wearing the wolf mask with the axes? And yeah, he's just a little behind on it. Yeah, we looked for him, we found him, and he's gone. Not a spoiler at this point. It's way past.
Well, 13, I don't remember where 13 would have fallen.
That was the first time we entered it. Where is it?
Chapter 3.
So that's chapter 3-ish area, so that was the first
That encounter. Was the end of... So I think the question is... Because, I mean, that is a little vague, and it was a long time ago. I think he's asking about Wolfmax. That's for you, Danny.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Is that anyone else?
Right.
You know, family or, you know, anything like that. I will say that is a bit peculiar, isn't it?
Maybe we just haven't found the missing posters, or maybe there's nobody left to make the missing posters.
Or maybe something else.
We'll find out.
What is the significance of the kid in the park who was shooting werewolves?
Oh, it's just kid playing Action Bill.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just Porter coloring the world.
Well, you know, and actually for those who may not know, you know, Action Bill is the World of Darkness's version of G.I. Joe, except instead of Cobra, it's Wolf.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's, you know, Action Bill is their G.I. Joe, fighting the evil forces of Wolf.
Of course.
And the evil werewolves that are trying to take over the world. So yeah, just playing Action Bill. Just calling the world, yep.
Did the name of Willow's Pass come from a video game? Did it come from Showdown at Willow's Creek?
I have no idea what that is.
So no. The answer is no.
Yeah. It was inspired by Twin Peaks.
Nice. All right.
Twin Peaks, those were pine trees, and I thought, well, a willow tree. And so, of course, Willows is Willows Pass. It's the name of the pass because it's the island. But Twin Peaks was the, you know, the nugget that I drew Inspirato from.
Dante, how come you didn't want Alpha? It seemed like he had already stepped into that role as the pack started to form.
Everyone keeps saying that. I never wrote the character to be the Alpha. It's just probably because of his... I took him that nature of being that calm, like, I guess, mentor-y style character, and I guess that's what makes it seem that way, because I just... And plus, he wants to just do. He's always like, let's just do it. So I guess I can see it, but it's never the way I wanted the character to be.
I think it might have been a little residual influence from Crimson Ghost.
Could have been.
What is a new thing each of you learned about your tribe since playing this character? It's not new, but I know the Bonars. They're just looked down upon the most, and I know it's coming, and I'm just going to get more shit for it.
Ghosts are not fun to deal with. But it has to be done.
It's fun to get to do that. Yeah. Siege?
I can't really pick anything off the top of my head for the Stargazer, since, once again, there's not much given on them, so it's all technically new.
Fair.
I'm sad you chose not to answer that in haiku.
Perfect opportunity missed.
I would have spent this whole time that you guys were talking coming up with a haiku.
Next is, how are you handling rage rolls? I hear them using it a lot, but I don't hear you, Porter. Do you make them make rage rolls?
I do, but it's one of those aspects of the game where I forget. You know? Sometimes I forget shit.
And sometimes it's more of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Okay, but I feel like I'm kind of weak on that sometimes, as I will forget. Maybe I should have you guys do more rage rolls. I feel like I do have you guys do them, but I don't keep track of it because it's what's in my heart at the time. Like, that's not a thing you could script.
Mm-hmm. It's situation dependent.
If it fits the scene, you've been pretty good on, like, calling it out, especially if it fits the scene in that moment.
I think that's fair.
All right, well, hey, then I'm better at it than I thought I was. Cool.
When Ricochet did the Ricochet off the tree move during episode RP23, what did he have to spend the willpower for? And what was he about to frenzy from the... Was he about to frenzy from the rage roll? As I think that was from the fight scene in the middle of the forest.
Oh, you're bouncing off a tree. I would imagine. I mean, I don't remember. It was fucking how long ago.
Were you injured? He might have been spending it to ignore dice pool.
I was going to say, yeah, depending on. But
or to guarantee a success off the bouncing off the tree.
Because
if he would have fucked up that roll, it would have ruined the rest of his turn.
That's true.
And yes, if that's what I'm thinking he's asking about, that part specifically, that's yes. It was to guarantee that I wasn't going to fuck it up, or at least
not botch it.
Sounds right to me, you know? Like, you know, you're doing that role today. You probably, the safe bet is to spend a piece of part of willpower to make sure you don't ruin your entire turn trying to get cute.
Yeah. And also, you know, in because when the rage is so high, I tend to use a few extra rage points to do moves and extra pieces of the moves so I don't frenzy.
Right. Because when you pop a perm, you're at max rage. You're super high rage. It's bad time. Bad time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
It'll burn some of that shit off.
Yeah. And that is the fourth corner. And again, thank you, Andre, for all your questions. Thank you, Ghostpaw, for your questions. Thank you, everyone.
There you go.
Yes, yeah, all of you. Thank you for sending the questions. They're fucking awesome. We appreciate it.
And, you know, please keep them coming. You know, we will do...
The quicker you guys get them in there, or the more you get them in there, the quicker these episodes will happen.
Exactly. Or we'll sit on them for a bit until we need to...
Well, no, I mean...
An emergency episode?
I mean, look.
It's fair.
Like, equal parts, let's be honest. It is
equal parts, we'll be honest about it, but...
But if we get a lot of questions, we're going to have to, mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Yes, very much equal parts.
But no, we thank you, like the guy said, we thank you so much for sending the questions in. You know, it means a lot to us. The fact that you listen means a lot to us. And, you know, if you have questions, the questions room we have in our Discord will be clean. I put a thing there announcing the cap, but everything behind that is going to get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a fresh, makes it easier for us. So if you have questions, drop them in. And if you're not on our Discord, again, you can do that by going to our website, rageacrosstheinternet.com. Excellent. And and you know, if for some reason you don't want to do that, that's fine. I mean, you can Twitter us, you can Facebook us, but really,
Discord's
our favorite. Email would be my second choice, personally. But beyond that, those are other options. But look, we don't check those very often. We don't like social media. We have a show, so we kind of have to. But
yeah, it's kind of it.
That's really it. Yeah, we don't like to use it.
Get us on that Discord, guys.
It's the best way to do it.
It is really the best way.
And then, yeah, if not, rageacrosspodcast@gmail.com.
You can never say that enough, but yeah.
It happens. It's fine.
It's in the show notes.
Those who got questions who have been going through the YouTube videos, get on the Discord, ask them.
It's true.
That is true. Yeah. Don't put them on the YouTube.
Because we don't get to them fast enough.
Right. We'll see it in like 6 months.
We appreciate them being there,
just being honest, we don't.
Yeah, if you want it answered, and we'll do it on air and give you the shout out for it, get on Discord.
Yeah, we won't. Also, the Discord, we won't answer the question in Discord. We got a room just for the questions.
Yep.
So we can just copy them, print them out, and here we go. Anyway, that is our time. So, on behalf of CJ, of Daniel Tyson, of Tommy Dixon, and myself, we want to thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. And we want to say, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Keep your claws sharp, your head in a swivel. We'll see you. I was supposed to go. If I can get that, it's crazy. It's a little bitch, I can throw him away. Hey, check this puzzle. I gotta go. Take it easy.